Welcome to the Independence by Design podcast, where we discuss what it means to be a business owner and ways to get unstuck from the day-to-day so we can design a business that gives us a life of independence. Hey, everybody. This episode is going to be a little bit more unique than and out of the box compared to what you're normally used to. And the reason I'm releasing this is because I had a video that I posted on YouTube called Understanding Life, Money, and God. And it was, I posted over the winter and I journal every morning and I think a lot about deep thoughts, but I'm not thinking about cash flow statements, valuations, business ownership, etc. And I think there's this, you know, current undertone and through line of freedom. And what does it mean to, you know, be who we should be as a person? And I think a business is one of the most amazing vehicles for self-actualization and the big impact that we want to make on the world. And so, and I actually have a theology minor, if you haven't caught that in any of my episodes. And so I thought I'd just post it here because I'm going to continue tackling all the ownership topics and psychology and, you know, mechanics of business ownership. I've got a guy named Larry Laporte that who's going to be coming on the show. He wrote the book called The Big Print. It's all about money. Like how does money help us get to be who we should be? It's a vehicle for self-actualization, I think, and it's a reflection of our time. And so I thought it would be a helpful episode to release on the podcast because it gets you a better understanding of, you know, really where is all the other material coming from? And you know, what's on my mind when I'm not thinking about business. And I think it'll also help with a through line and a foundation for all the other topics I'm going to be releasing over the next year or two as I'm publishing more material on the Owner's Playbook. I've been putting a ton of work into the material that's going to be coming out on the Owner's Playbook that will be free in the newsletter. And all the guests and the topics are going to be tied to various aspects of the playbook. And the real foundation behind it is how I view life, money, and God. So hope you enjoy. And if you enjoy it, go check out the YouTube video, leave some comments. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are, but don't worry, there's gonna be tons of other topics that are pretty, you know, down the fairway of all the material that I like to talk about, but I thought you would enjoy this. Enjoy. Okie dokie, let's see if I can get out my thoughts here. We are about to go skiing and the girls are restless, but I was journaling this morning and I wanted to get my thoughts out again. So what I'm going to be doing is reading my journaling. Hopefully this is the most coherent way to get these ideas across. And I just like to, you know, I think out loud. And so journaling and doing this helps me understand life. And so as I start from the top here, is why I do this is because there's really just a couple questions that have driven my entire life, which is why are we here? What's the point? And how do we work? And what's the game of life? And how does biology, psychology, money, and religion fit together? And history and many religious texts that I have come across make so much more sense to me as I understand what I'm about to unpack here. So time is our most precious resource. We only have one life and roughly 90 years on this planet. We are here in this physical world, another set of constraints being a very important part in our meat suits, a tribute to Steve Schaefer calling us meat suits, and these meat suits that allow us to experience the physical world. So like we're here in these meat suits, experiencing life in the physical world, using our five senses. And we are social creatures that rely on one another for survival. This is for physical survival, but also fundamental to the psychology, which is also mental and spiritual survival and the journey of life. We need to have relativity, the ability to compare ourselves to one another in order to experience ourselves. We don't know if we are tall or short unless we stand next to someone. The physical world is based on rules and laws in physics and relativity. And we could also think about the rules and laws of life is in order and chaos, which is, I mean, gravity has up and down. You've got male and female. And a lot of things throughout history have really honed in on this relativity, the yin and the yang, Taoism and order, chaos, you know, the mother, father. There's all these different different ways of talking about the two polar opposites. And so many places in history realize that we need two parts to create the whole, which is relativity. I mean, the DNA has the double helix, the Fibonacci code, which is a spiral that comes up from like sunflowers and seashells. It gets more perfect the higher it gets and the more it goes on. And so as the spiral goes up and things become more perfect, it's going from chaos to order. And there's sacred geometry is another way of looking at this, because sacred geometry starts with the flower of life, starts with nothing, and then it starts with these circles, and then it's creating relativity, which actually uniquely ties into like the 6 days of God creating the earth, and then also the seventh day of rest. Very fascinating rabbit hole sacred geometry is. And so the through relativity and creating this order out of chaos, it expands. We are expanding constantly into more order. But I believe that life is God, the universal intelligence, the unbounded unconsciousness, the quantum field, the matrix, the simulation, everything, all time and all space. So whatever you want to call it is without constraints. And relativity and the constraints of physics and time is, you know, time and space is what brings us the container of the ability to experience itself. So God cannot experience itself unless it has constraints of time and space, physics, and this world. And we humans have the ability to experience life through this lens. And therefore, the creation of the physical world and humans is God's way of experience itself through observing. And technically, you're collapsing the quantum. So the only way to collapse the superposition is to collapse it through observing. Again, another crazy rabbit hole. The relativity of love and fear are the two polar opposites that guide emotions, the emotional principles. So love and fear being the relativity, love being a closer relationship to God, and fear being the further away you are from God. And that is effectively heaven and hell. So heaven being a representation of God, which is fully love, and then also hell, which is fully without God and without love, again, being the polar opposite. So there can be relativity. Our bodies and five senses and desire for relationship with each other are our ways of experiencing ourselves in the physical world. So it is God's way of experiencing itself, and therefore God experiencing itself through us, through the five senses, in relativity with each other and over time. And therefore the physical science, so that all of the physical, which is a science, parts of this world are the playing field. Call it the game, the board game, the playing field, the rules of the video game or the simulation, whatever you want to call it. These are facts. I mean, gravity exists, DNA, atoms, elements, etc. We cannot deny these. And these scientific explanations of how the physical world works is part of our curiosity. I mean, the strive for adventure, which I will get to in a little bit, is like that we're constantly trying to learn about our physical world. But there are facts about our physical world that we are constantly learning more about, and we have to constantly be changing our mind, but there are facts. And if we do not understand something, we can experiment until we understand it and learn from that, you know, atoms, then we learn about qubits, etc. So we're constantly learning. And this scientific exploration is different than the fundamental reality that we are here as humans for God, essentially us as a part of God through consciousness and our souls. We are experiencing life, and God is experiencing itself through us and through all of the observers. So if we're technically, we've got 8 billion people all observing and having constraints through physical reality and interacting with each other, we're collapsing the quantum and experiencing reality. That is way of God of experiencing itself using the physical world as its playground. Our biology is built in a way to encourage this truth. We have a pleasure pain reward system that is wired into our brains called dopamine. I mean, this is where Andrew Huberman and a lot of science has really gotten. We have this teeter-totter of, you know, we have a lot of pleasure, and then we have the back end of pain. And so we're constantly teeter-totting back into pleasure and pain. And this system is regulated through the prefrontal cortex and the hypothalamus. And we drive, and all those synapses are essentially driving us towards pleasure or pain. And we drive the purest happiness, which you could call joy, love, purpose, meaning, feeling, when we have the highest noble goal or target that impacts the most amount of people for good, for the right purposes over the longest period of time. The highest noble goal is the fundamental definition of the divine or God. So like the higher the goal, that's looking up, looking heavenly, the higher the noble goal, we're talking about the divine or God, to look at the heavens. This is the feeling of love. So we're looking at towards love. The definition of sin is missing the target. So you're like, well, okay, well, if I'm trying to have the most noble goal, if I miss, that's effectively sin. And this can be all consuming if we don't strive towards love, God, the highest goal. So if we're not striving towards the highest goal of our fullest potential, then we're missing the target, and then we can be all consumed with ourselves. And how that results, or what results in that, is anxiety, it's fear, and it's the absence of God and love. Why this is biologically and scientifically true is that dopamine reward system is built on that. So we drive the highest unit of, or we drive, how did, there was a conversation with Peterson and Huberman that's like helped me wrap a lot of this together. And they were saying that the higher the noble goal, and for the biggest amount of people over the biggest time span, the higher the unit of, or every unit of progress towards that goal produces the highest amount of dopamine release. So essentially, as we strive to the highest goal and progress towards that goal, we're reducing uncertainty, and then we're making it more clear. And every time we are doing that, we're creating the most amount of dopamine humanly possible. And we're looking towards the divine of the heavens. And if we miss it, then it's sin. And so effectively what we're doing is we're essentially pursuing or embodying or acting out. This is where all of these, like, all this jargon from religion over the years, I just never understood, but now it makes so much sense of, like, we're embodying and acting out the spirit of God by helping the highest amount of people over the longest period of time, which is love. And the ability to accomplish this type of journey requires sacrifice. Like, we have to sacrifice today for the highest future goal and the biggest future goal. And this sacrifice produces more clarity on the future, because the time that we're spending working and helping progressing ourselves to the goal, while also for the most amount of people for the longest amount of time, we are here for that experience. That's the point of life. And this dynamic is setting the framework for this to be true. If we don't sacrifice, also known as work or do hard things, how can we help the largest amount of people over the longest timeline? To realize this fact is to acknowledge that life is good. The point of life is good and hard work, and you pick up your cross, however you want to start wording this. And this is the point of life: to create more clarity and progress from chaos, which is uncertainty. This creates a biological release of dopamine that creates a sense of purpose, meaning, joy, love. I mean, it's like so fantastic. So to not work or sacrifice towards a noble goal is to disregard the purpose of life, or to spit in God's face, or spit in life's face, or disregard love. This is a result, or this results in a fall from heaven. This is sin. You know, we're falling from heaven because we're missing the target. And we want, and we're missing the, or we're going away from heaven and love to fear and hell and the absence of God and good. And this shows up in a dysfunctioning dopamine system. Anxiety, which is just fear of the future, and depression, which is regrets of the past, and a ton of personal existential crises and confusion result from this. On the purpose of life, the meaninglessness, which is just nihilism. So if you ever heard of the word nihilism, it's the everything's meaningless, and the disdain for oneself and others, because we're essentially slapping God and the purpose of life in the face. So, like, good luck trying to figure out, I mean, if you believe that this is all worthless, good luck and see how that goes, because trust me, it's not a good feeling. And there's a lot of material out there, like, it doesn't result in anything good. And the only way to gracefully integrate ourselves with each other and the uncertainty of the future is to have the highest noble aim and create order out of chaos. I just love it so much. And what that allows us to do is say, okay, well, if we're right here, we want to go right there, point A to point B. The higher it is, and the more impact for the most amount of people or the most amount of time, the more we get dopamine out of every single unit of progress and clarity, and we're helping others. I mean, it's just the whole thing is just this complete alignment. So the only way to be gracefully integrate, to gracefully integrate ourselves with this present and with the present moment, with the future and all the chaos and uncertainty from here to there, point A to point B, is to come up with a noble goal or aim, which is the highest goal. What could that be? What could be the largest gift to the, or the largest gift to the highest amount of people over the longest time frame? Well, it effectively would be saving humanity. And the largest sacrifice, what would that need to be? And what would be the largest sacrifice need to be to do this? Well, sacrificing oneself or one's child, that's the largest sacrifice. Well, it's the story of Jesus. And it's so funny because I've got this tattoo of Jesus and a cross on my shoulder that I got when I was 18. And I can tell you what, I did not understand any of this shit when I did that. And it makes so much more sense now, because this story of Jesus Christ is the ultimate ideal, and it's the meta goal and framework for life. Every day we need to strive to be the best we can be with all of our limitations. And we have to acknowledge that we have limitations physically, mentally, whatever our individual limitations are, we all have them. And we are all totally imperfect. Like, no one's perfect. But regardless of our limitations, we need to never forget that the ultimate aim is up. We have to look up and we have to pick up our cross, wake up in the spirit of all the shit that's coming at us, and work towards the highest goal of what we could be, and to disregard life being good because of our circumstances to spit God in the face and deny reality realistically, that you're just saying, well, this is not the way it should be. Well, good luck figuring all that goes. I've tried. It's like, if you're going to see that, like, you know what, this isn't pointless. Anxiety, fear, nihilism, all that stuff is all-consuming and disgusting feeling, and it's not going to work out unless you're a psychopath and you actually can't feel those feelings. But the physical world and uncertainty is the playground. That's what we're doing here. Like, the physical world of uncertainty. So the physics and our biology and the reality is the playground, and we need to acknowledge this and keep moving forward. It's the only way. The opposite is hate and fear, and this will never feel good. Dopamine actually, and this is so what's so fascinating to me, dopamine and science and like how our biology is created drives us towards the goal as long as we stay conscious and clear of the ultimate goal and the aim up in heaven or whatever we want to call it. And our dopamine is helping reward us towards there. So we're actually incentivized to do that. And if we, here's where the huge caveat is, and I've learned this shit the way hard way, is if we worship other things, other gods, whatever you want to call it, with our dopamine system, our dopamine system can get hijacked. And then the things like sex, money, stuff, power, eating crazy foods, drinking, weed, phones, video games, all the stuff. The Dopamine Nation is a great book that I read about this, and I can't remember the author's name, but she was on Huberman. They become the goal. So your goal gets hijacked and you're worshiping other gods. And then all of a sudden your dopamine system, which is just addiction, is moving you towards, and only everything between here and there becomes a way of getting more and more of that addiction. And our dopamine and synapses between the hypothalamus and our prefrontal cortex are just constantly reinforcing that. A lot of appreciation for Huberman and Peterson helping me understand this stuff. And like, it doesn't work. I've tried. This is why I haven't been drinking for years. And I've been constantly trying to recalibrate my dopamine system, because it's amazing. I love that stuff. But like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, and it doesn't result in happiness. And so, if we miss and our dopamine system gets hijacked and we're worshiping other gods, or we're addicted to something, and they are all consuming, and we feel empty and out of control, and we are truly, and when we truly satisfy our dopamine system without, or when we try to satisfy our dopamine system without sacrifice, you know, that really good food or the booze or the weed or the sex or whatever, or I would just say masturbation or something, where it's, you're just getting it for without the sacrifice of having a relationship, et cetera. I'm not going to go further into this, but it's the sacrifice, where if we get the dopamine without the sacrifice, it's not good. And because it only results in bad things. I mean, like, it's not good for us. And we all know that that feeling of emptiness and that feeling of the goal of helping the most amount of people over the most amount of time is what actually makes us happy. And this is why we have to pick up our cross and move forward. We don't want to fall to the temptations because they suck. they don't work. Even though they might seem good in the moment, what's even more interesting is when we add the layer of money into this, this is what's so fascinating to me and how all this stuff is snapped together. And I mean, I've read hundreds of books on money, and like, this is not about money, but this is what's so fascinating to me. Money is a direct reflection of how we spend our time. That's all it is. It's stored time. So we go spend time, and our energy that we spend with our time is creating value, because we're creating value towards that ultimate goal. And we want to make sure that we want to make sure as we interact and trade with others, like we rely on other human beings for survival and for communal for emotional health, because it's the relativity and it's our way of experiencing ourselves. So we need other people. We need to trade with other people. And that's what money is, because we need other people to survive. And therefore, money is what we use to exchange our time and value with others. So we provide others with time. So I spend my time sacrificing towards the most noble goal, and I store that time in money. And if other people don't value what we're doing with our time, they're not going to give us their time, which is their money. This is our way of knowing or finding out what other people value. So as we interact with people on a day-to-day basis, we're constantly, everybody should be striving towards that noble aim, and then working to help as many people over the most amount of period of time, given their constraints. And as we're doing that, we're storing our time and we're trading with each other. And therefore, that we're constantly, through the micro interactions that we have with each other, constantly judging whether each other are spending the time in the right place. We're constantly helping each other look up towards the heaven, towards the divine, towards the most noble aim. Because if you're doing something that is not good for the most amount of people over the most amount of time, I don't want to give you my time. And this is how money is just the medium of exchange for all this. And if we acknowledge that the game of life is as such described so far, other people should be valuing things that impact the greatest amount of people over the largest amount of time. It's in their best interest, actually, because the dopamine and the meaning of life is that. So it's actually in their best interest for all of us to be doing this and helping each other. And if everyone is playing this game, people who value dopamine without sacrifice, which is sin. So if we're just addicted to the highest amount of, you know, pleasure in the moment without sacrificing hard work towards a goal, we will reject their time and we will not value it. And therefore we will not value their money, and it's no good. Money, because money is just a reflection, a unit of account, that's accounting. Not to get into the weeds here, but money is just a reflection or an account of how we spend our time sacrificing towards helping the most amount of people over the largest amount of time, which is work. And that's the purpose. The purpose is to work, and we're picking up, and that's the purpose of life. And it needs to be, this situation and this game needs to be uncorruptible. To corrupt money is to corrupt life itself. Uncorruptible money cannot be created without spending time living out what we're talking about, which is sacrifice towards the highest amount of the highest amount of good given someone's constraints. This is why gold has been money for most of our history. It's on the periodic table. It's an element. So it cannot be created from nothing. Just reference all of the terms or the books, the alchemists throughout history, all the alchemists that are just trying to create gold out of nothing. And it doesn't work. It's on the periodic table. And it takes a lot of time, people's time, to dig it out of the earth to find more. I mean, I think the average has been 1.5% in, you know, growth of gold over all of history. And it stands the test of time because it can't rot. So like, if I'm going to spend my time doing hard shit towards the highest good, and I store it in gold because I don't want someone to steal my time, and I don't want it to rot. I don't want to put it in tulips. And I don't want someone else to create time out of nothing. And so, and gold is finite, given the little, you know, we have to dig it out of the earth and spend a lot of time to get it because we can't make it from nothing. And so it stands the test of time. And we have to, someone has to sacrifice their time to create it or to find it. So we do not want others, other people to be able to earn that money that we are using to store our time towards the highest good with all the sacrifice that we're doing by doing bad things. We don't want them to earn it, but we also do not want them to create it out of nothing. That would create dysfunction in the entire system. We keep this in check as we trade with each other. However, if there becomes a way to print or create money we use as a whole of society without the sacrifice towards the highest ideal, which is that goal and aim towards the heavens with all the things that we do every day, then the entire society becomes tainted. It's like slowly poisoning the water fish live in. Over time, all of the incentive structures of society and the individual are funneled or pointed towards whatever creates the money instead of doing hard work. I mean, this dysfunction, it steers everyone away from the highest noble aim that requires sacrifice. I mean, sacrifice is a bitch. Doing hard things is hard, but that's the reward. And if we have that noble aim, we're getting the dopamine and the reward from that. And to funnel that in all of society away from that towards the cheap, free dopamine or the free things that are essentially, that's sin. Whatever is allowing the money to be created without that sacrifice, or whoever is in control of this money creation, has unyielding power to tell others what and how to act or value. I mean, who made them God? I mean, realistically, that's what, like, it's so dysfunctional and it's so the opposite of the point of life. People have always urged to get something for nothing. I mean, just trust me, the dopamine reward system is very powerful, but it doesn't work if we don't sacrifice, which is the dopamine hit without sacrifice. Something for nothing is the dopamine hit without sacrifice. Booze, foods, you know, masturbation, or, you know, cocaine or drugs or gambling or a phone or all that stuff. It's the sin. It's missing the target and missing the right target for the whole of society. And yet this is corrupting the whole system. So money is the reflection and store of the time we spend creating value for the highest good for the highest amount of people over the longest amount of time, and that stored time needs to be finite. We can't create it from nothing. And because it needs to reflect how hard we work sacrificing every day, and we can't create something from nothing if we don't sacrifice, because it skews the entire system. And therefore, it needs to be finite. It needs to be incorruptible over time. And I don't want it to be stored in tulips or something that just disintegrates over time. And it needs to be able to be divisible in tiny units so we can exchange. So divisible is in super, super small units so we can trade with each other. And I don't have to trade a house or, like, because what if you need just a little bit? So it needs to be divisible in very, very small units over vast amounts of space. So it needs to be finite. So we can't print it from nothing. It needs to hold its value over time so it doesn't rot, because I don't want to spend my time sacrificing and then all of a sudden have what I stored my time in just disappear. I want it to be held, and I want it to be held with the value that I created over time. So that way it doesn't erode because the money printer or the inflation is eroding it. It needs to be held. So it needs to be finite, and then it be held over time and divisible in little teeny units of account so we can trade lots of different size of goods and services, and then over space, right? Because the problem with gold over the last, call it 100 or 200 years, is that as we became a nationwide and global economy, like, I'm the people that I'm working with, I'm not shipping a cart of gold over there, which then centralizes the money. And then people are fallible people, and they're going to corrupt the money. So we want to eliminate that ability to corrupt the money. And every time we centralize money, gold, it gets corrupted because people suck and they're greedy and they're powerful and they're power hungry, etc. So we need to eliminate that system. And so therefore, all of human behavior is corrupted if we corrupt the money. If we fix the money, we fix the system, and then people can fix themselves and therefore experience the highest joy and happiness of life, because the purpose of life on this earth is to strive to the highest goal and the largest normal aim, given your constraints and your situation, and sacrifice on the way there. And then we actually release dopamine in the highest amount with every unit of progress of taking uncertainty and making it, you know, chaos to order, uncertainty to now. And then we're helping the most amount of people over the longest time frame. I mean, what could be better than that? And like, to deny this is just completely effing insane in my mind. And like, I think about all the shit going on, and it's just different ways of people justifying our quick dopamine hits or like what needs. I mean, we have to do hard shit. And the best part that I've realized is doing hard shit actually is enjoyable if we acknowledge all of this. And back to like, to rob people of this experience is to rob people of the purpose of life, and it's to do the worst evil on the planet. I mean, it's to spit God in the face, spit the purpose of life in the face, and to rob people of true happiness and figuring out who they want to be, having the experiences. And I just am so passionate about all this. And like, all of the technical jargon convolutes this message. And religion makes so much more sense to me. Biology makes so much more sense to me. Physics, all of the different topics that we learn make so much more sense to me in this context. And then when I think about the quote unquote history we all read, I think the best statement I've ever heard is history is written by the people who win. Well, if the people who win corrupt the money system for power, they're going to write whatever shit that they want. And which is completely, we need to look at it through that lens, saying, well, why did they write it like this? If anything is being written to tell us that this, that the life works other, any other way than this, doesn't work. I don't know. I have tried to figure it out the hard way. I've learned this all the hard way, which, you know, like, I love dopamine. So like, this has been to protect myself and to help me understand how does what I do every day matter. And I want every single day to matter towards a big goal. And what I realize is that if I can get addicted to the hard work, which I have, it's taken me 20 years, it can be one hell of a life. And it's super fun. And it organizes and integrates every other aspect of my life. And then every single day becomes just a way of experiencing and playing the game of life, which how fun it can be is just unbelievable. And I want my daughters to understand this, and I want the people I love to understand this, because it's just too good not to want to share. So thanks everybody for listening in. Hopefully this is valuable, and lots of different resources went into me understanding this. So, you know, I'll steal the phrase. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, and a lot of thanks to a lot of the people, and I'll eventually put references to the top resources that got me here. But thanks everybody. See ya.